Thank you, James. Good evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 8. I'm going through the book of Ezekiel at the moment in my quiet time, so I'd just like to share a thought that struck me as I was reading through the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 7 to 9. Ezekiel chapter 8, verses 7 to 9. And he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in, and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we need you. We pray that you now fill us with your Holy Spirit and teach us from your holy word that we might become more like our Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. My text this evening is found in verse number 7. And this grabbed me as I was reading through this in my personal devotions. The little phrase that reads, Behold, a hole in the wall. When I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. This evening I'd like to preach a sermon on sin behind closed doors. Sin behind closed doors. God said to Ezekiel, Behold, a hole in the wall. And within this particular vision, God reveals to Ezekiel some of the sins of God's people. Sins that were committed behind closed doors. Now, as we study the book of Ezekiel, we must be mindful this book takes place in captivity. In Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel has the responsibility of preaching the word of God to a people under judgment. And in this chapter, Ezekiel chapter 8, God reveals to Ezekiel with a vision the true condition of God's people and why God has placed his hand of judgment upon them. Verse number 1 begins with Ezekiel in his home. The Bible reads then verse 1, As I sat in mine house. So Ezekiel was minding his own business in his home. He was surrounded by some of the elders of the nation of Israel. And from that point on, God appears to Ezekiel and gives him a vision. And this vision involves God's people, the deeds of God's people surrounding the temple back in Jerusalem. If you go down to verse number 3, please. And he put forth the form of a hand and took me by a lock of mine head. And the Spirit lift me up between the earth and the heaven, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the inner gate that looketh toward the north, where was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. So within this chapter we find that Ezekiel receives a vision from God. We're not told exactly how this would have taken place, but before the completion of Scripture, God did speak to his men by direct revelation. God did speak to men of God via dreams, and God did speak to men of God via a vision. And we have here a vision that Ezekiel experiences. Now, for you and I that are Bible-believing Christians, we have a more sure word of prophecy. God speaks to us from the Word of God. And for one to have a vision nowadays, I would dare say they're probably having a good, vivid imagination, or they've had too much pepperoni pizza, because that's not how God speaks in 2011. God speaks through His Word. But before the completion of Scripture, God did speak through visions and revelations, and God elevates Ezekiel to a point where he has a vision. It's like God just takes him by a lump of hair and drags him out and takes him back in this vision to Jerusalem and gives Jeremiah some insight concerning what was taking place behind closed doors by the people of God. Now, it's important that we bear in mind that the emphasis of the book of Ezekiel is the glory of God. God is concerned about His glory, the glory of God amongst His people. Note then verse number 4, please. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel. So whenever you, as you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find there is a great emphasis upon God's glory. If you go back to Ezekiel chapter 1, please. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 28. So the glory of God is a main theme throughout the book of Ezekiel. Verse 28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. As we study the book of Ezekiel, we must be mindful of the fact that there is an emphasis upon the glory of God. God is concerned about being glorified. In chapter 1, chapter 3, chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, we can go on, and you'll find an emphasis upon the glory of God. God is to be glorified. God wants to manifest His glory within His people. They were to be a bright light to the world, reflecting God's glory. This was God's heart, and this was God's passion for His people, that they might reflect the glory of God. And we likewise, as Bible-believing Christians, God has called us to reflect His glory and to glorify God in our bodies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, please. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. So just like it was the will of God for the nation of Israel to reveal His glory, so likewise, for those of us that know Jesus Christ the Savior, we are likewise called upon to reflect the glory of God. We have to glorify God in all that we do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are told in verse 18 that we are changed into His glory in the power of the Holy Spirit. As we meditate upon Christ in the Scriptures, we are changed into His glory. So there is an emphasis in the glory of God in the book of Ezekiel. It's important to bear that in mind. Secondly, listen carefully, the glory of God always equates to the presence of God. The glory of God equates or equals the presence of God. In other words, if there is the glory of God evident, then there is the evidence of God's presence. When God's glory is apart from His people, then the reality of God's presence is likewise apart from His people. They are connected together. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 8, please, and note then verse number 6. In light of the sin that prevailed amongst God's people, God said to His people in verse number 6 via Ezekiel within this vision, that I shall go far off from my sanctuary. You'll see within the scriptures a connection between the glory of God and the presence of God. God wanted to manifest His glory amongst His people, and entwined with His glory is the very presence of God. Let me prove that once again. 1 Samuel, please, chapter 4. Please, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 4, please. First Samuel chapter 4, verse 21 and 22. Within these verses, we have a record of the naming of a child, the child of Phinehas. Phinehas' wife had a child. And note then verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod, saying, watch this carefully, the glory is departed from Israel. Watch it. Why? Because the ark of God was taken. Because of her father-in-law and of her husband. Verse 22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You see that? So in other words, the ark of God represented God's presence. And with the absence of God's presence illustrated with the ark of God, God's glory had departed. And therefore, Phinehas' child was called Ichabod, the glory is departed. So here we have an illustration of the connection between God's glory and God's presence. The Ark of the Covenant was taken by the Philistines, and therefore the glory of God was taken from the people of God. The glory of God equates to the presence of God. If God's glory is evident amongst His people, His presence will be evident amongst His people. The very thing that extinguishes God's glory and the reality of God's presence in the life of the believer is sin. Sin extinguishes God's glory. And God revealed to Ezekiel why His glory has departed from the nation of Israel, and why God's people were under the sentence of judgment under Babylonian captivity. It was because of the secret sins that were committed among the people of God, within the house of God, the temple of God in Jerusalem. Let me draw the application, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Bear with me. I'll get to my main point shortly. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, note then verse 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. See, it was because of the secret sins that were being committed by God's people that God's glory was no longer evident amongst the people of God. And because God's glory was not evident amongst the people of God, God's presence, the reality of God's presence, was not there amongst the people of God. That's why God said to Ezekiel this vision that God is afar off. Why? Because they were committed to sin and iniquity. And therefore they drove off the glory of God and the presence of God. God is holy and righteous. And my friend, this evening as Christians, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if we want God's glory and God's presence upon our lives, we need to be sensitive to sin. This was not the case with the people of God. They were committing sins behind closed doors. See, God wants to manifest His glory, His presence in your life and in my life. But God can only manifest His glory and His presence as we live holy lives. Because God is holy. God is apart from sin. Sin committed openly, sin committed privately, will quench the glory of God. Will quench the presence of God. God cannot face sin. In fact, God the Father had to turn His back on God the Son as He bore iniquity upon Himself. And He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? See, God's glory has departed. Ichabod prevails over the people of God because there is no glory. There is no presence of God. And the reason is, and as God reveals to Ezekiel here in chapter 8 of this wonderful book, it's because there is sin being committed behind closed doors. Sin being committed behind closed doors. God said to Ezekiel, through a hole in the wall, there is sin amongst the people of God. And my friend, this evening I'd like to encourage you. I don't know about you, but I want God's glory to prevail over my life. I want the presence of God in my life, but it's those secret sins that we entertain that keep God afar. Let's note this evening, very briefly, what secret sins were committed by Israel. And see if we can learn some lessons that will help us to live holy. That we might not be found guilty of committing the same sins that rob you and I of God's glory. Disable us from glorifying God and having the reality of God's presence in our lives. The thing to bear in mind that all of these sins mentioned here in Ezekiel chapter 8 were committed within the temple there in Jerusalem. That's a sad commentary. And may I submit to you that for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we likewise can be guilty of committing sin within the temple of the Holy Spirit. The application is there. The first sin that is revealed to Ezekiel within this vision is outlined there in verse number 5. But God said to Ezekiel, Son of man, lift up thine eyes now, the way towards the north. So I lift mine eyes the way toward the north, and behold, northward, at the gate of the altar, at the entranceway to the altar of sacrifice, his image of jealousy in the entry. Now this is referring to in the entrance, in the foyer leading to the altar, we find an idol being set up just outside the doors that lead to the main altar within the temple there in Jerusalem. There was an idol, outside that door. See, man's jealousy focuses on his own selfishness and pleasure and happiness. But God's jealousy is in reference to his honor, in reference to his glory. And he is justly jealous for our total devotion to him alone. So outside this door that led to that altar, the altar spoke of God's presence. Just outside this door, in the little corridor that led to the altar, there was an idol within the temple. And the point is this that I'd like to make, is that God's people behind closed doors committed the sin of not loving God fully. They provoked him to jealousy. And therefore the phrase there is given there in verse number 3, the image of jealousy, which provoketh to jealousy. And once again in verse number 5, the image of jealousy in the entry. See, God is a jealous God. Jealousy in the pure sense. That is, God wants your full devotion. God wants you and I to love him with all of our being, to love God fully. And when we fail to love God fully, then we provoke him to jealousy. The Bible teaches us in 1 John chapter 2 that we are to not to love the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, we find a reference within the Ten Commandments, how God is a jealous God and God wants our full devotion. Let me ask you, do you love God fully? In the innermost being of your temple, your life, do you really love God? Oh yes, you might be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday, but do you really love God fully? God wants us to love him with all of our being. God's people were committing the sin behind closed doors of not loving God fully. You young men that like soccer, do you love God fully? I think it would be best for you to say, well, I like soccer, Pastor, but I love God. That's how it ought to be. For you musicians, you might say, well, I love my music. I think it would be best to say, well, I like my music, but I love God more so. See, God is a God of jealousy, my friend. He wants our full devotion. God's people were committing the sin of worshipping other idols, and what boldness, what's unbelievable. Within the entranceway to the altar, there was an idol position. And God said, Ezekiel, do you see this? Do you see what's happened? Let me tell you why I judge this people, because at the same time that they go to worship their God, they're also worshipping their idols. And my friend, we can be just as guilty. John the Apostle warned his people and prayed for the people of God that they might be kept from idols. Do you love God fully? Is this one of your secret sins that you're committing? Outwardly, it looks like you love God, but do we really love God fully? Go down to verse number 10 and 11, please. You'll notice the word abominations throughout this chapter. The word abominations is a very strong word. It would have to be amongst, if not the strongest word, giving God's greatest possible disgust concerning sin. So whenever you read the word abomination, don't treat that lightly. God is saying, by the usage of that word, I really don't like this. I really don't like this. I really, really don't like this. And we'll find this word throughout this chapter. The second sin committed by God's people. Sin behind closed doors. Not only was there a partial love, they didn't love God fully. They worshipped idols as well as worshipping God. But secondly, I'd like for us to note hypocrisy. Note then verses 10 and 11. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form. This is within the temple. It's through this little hole that God creates a door for Ezekiel to walk into the temple via this vision. And as God takes Ezekiel in the innermost parts of the Jewish temple, this temple devoted to the worship of God. Note then verse 7, behold, every form of creeping things, and abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel, portrayed upon the wall round about. And there stood before them 70 men of the ancients, mature men of the house of Israel. And in the midst of them stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Shaphan was the scribe who read the word of God to Josiah that led to revival. This is his son. With every man his censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Sin behind closed doors. Not only were God's people guilty of not loving God fully, but secondly, we see that God's people were hypocrites. On the one hand, they're burning incense to Almighty God. Incense within the temple rites was a way of outwardly expressing God's prayers going up to God. But yet at the same time, within the walls of this temple, when Ezekiel dug through the wall and found the door, he walked in, he saw the wicked graffiti of the most perverse, filthy abominations imaginable. And on the walls of this sinful hideout, the wickedness of God's people, specifically God's spiritual leaders, were portrayed. Careful study reveals that many of the rites and incantations and practices and activities associated with the idolatrous worship of that day were often lewd and disgusting and revolting and nauseating. And these rites are pictured of the walls within the temple of Jerusalem. So by their writings and images within that temple, it was obvious that the young and the old were committing the most vile religious practices. And also involved was Shaphan, the son of a man of God. And these men went through the spiritual motions of offering incense, prayers to God. At the same time, they were committing many sins in secret. Hypocrisy. The sin of hypocrisy. We see that God's people sin behind closed doors. They didn't love God fully. They worshipped idols. And secondly, we see the sin of hypocrisy. They committed many sins behind closed doors within God's temple. What sin are you committing behind closed doors that brings spiritual nausea and disgust to God? On the one hand, we look and we sound spiritual and we're in church, but I assure you there are even people within this room this evening that you are committing some of the most vile sins within the temple of God, your body. May God help us and deliver us from such hypocrisy. It was the aged men. It was the young men. How sad. Ezekiel couldn't believe his eyes at what he saw pictured within the walls of the temple. It was disgusting. It was horrible. My friend, may I submit to you that sin is always in the plural. Sin is always in the plural. Back in my days as a garbologist, I used to collect the rubbish of the main priest that lived there next door to that main Catholic church on Archer Street in Chatswood. Our Lady of Dollars and Cents, as I call it. The bin was very crisp. It was a metal bin. It was impressive. You know, when you spend a night running after a truck and you pick up bin after bin after bin, you take note of the bins that people had. And I noticed that the manse of the Catholic Church, it was a metal silver bin. It was in good shape, no dings. And always the plastic bag within that bin was so nicely tied at the top. It was very easy to service the priest's house. It was just a simple matter of taking that lid off and grabbing that bag and putting that lid back on, and off I'd go again, chasing that garbage truck. And time after time, I would just got curious and I wanted to see what the priest was up to. And I made it a habit, in fact, each time I picked up the priest's garbage, to, as we made our way down Archer Street, because there was always a bit of a gap between Our Ladies of Dollars and Cents until the next bin at the other end of Victoria Road, I made a habit of opening up that bag and having a good look to see what the priest has been up to. And every week there were always bottles of beer, bottles of wine, empty of course. I thought, wow, and I would often wonder, if this is what I see, what else is taking place behind closed doors? See, sin's always in the plural, brethren. It's never singular. Sin behind closed doors. What grieved the heart of God amongst His people was that they didn't love God fully and they were committing sins behind closed doors. Now, thirdly this evening, let's move along. Look at verse number 12. Another sin that was evident amongst God's people is that they belittled God. Note what they said in verse 12. Then said He unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Can you see what they're doing behind closed doors? Ezekiel, do you see it? The sins that they're committing in the dark. The devil is very active in the dark. The devil's nocturnal, very active. He awakens in the dark, see? And God said to Ezekiel, do you see what my people are doing in the dark? And in fact, the ancients of the house of Israel, those that are meant to be the mature ones, this is what they're saying. Let's read on in verse 12. Every man in the chamber of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. God revealed to Ezekiel sin number 3. Not only did God's people fail to love God fully, and secondly, they were hypocritical. They committed many vile sins behind closed doors in the dark. But thirdly, listen to me this evening, they belittled God. They said, God can't see what we're doing. They belittled God. God can't see what we're doing. The Lord seeth us not. You and I can be guilty of saying, well, what a ridiculous thing to say, but aren't we just as guilty? Somebody say amen, please. The way we carry on, some of the attitudes we have, some of the words that proceed out of our mouth, and some of the places we go in the dark. In front of that TV screen, in front of that computer, some of the places we go to within our vile, sinful community, we carry on as if God doesn't see what I'm doing. How foolish! This belittles God. Not only do they belittle God in saying, well, God can't see what we're doing, we're in the dark. This is taking place in the temple. God will never know. What a ridiculous thing to say or think. But also they said of God, God doesn't care what we do. He's not present. God is not active in our lives. Can you see, brethren, this belittles God. It belittles God.
They didn't love God fully. They were hypocritical. But thirdly, they belittled God by convincing themselves that God doesn't see. Oh, that's far from the truth. God sees everything. Everything that we do. And God has not forsaken. God is still active in our day. God is out to show himself strong on the behalf of those that have a perfect heart, the Bible teaches us. Let me ask you this evening, who awoke King Ahasuerus during that evening that led to the deliverance of God's people by the hand of Mordecai? It was God that woke him up. Who was it that stirred the heart of King Cyrus that led to God's people going back to Jerusalem to build that temple? It was God that stirred his heart, who spoke to Moses in the burning bush. It was God. It was God. To whom did Joseph give credit before his brothers after Jacob's death? It was glory to God. God meant it for good. God's people belittled God. And I'm afraid that we likewise can commit the same sins. We treat God as if God is this tall. The way we carry on, the sin we entertain, the filth we watch on that computer, the rot we observe on that TV screen, the vile people we spend time with, the gossip we listen to, as if God is this small. This was their attitude, and this is the attitude of many of God's people, is it not? Principle number four. Bear with me, I'm almost there. Now bear in mind, these sins were committed within the temple, within the place of worship. Idolatry, the worship of anything and everything imaginable to the heathen heart, the attitude that God doesn't see, God doesn't care. But lesson number four, note there in verse number 14, God's people committed immoral sin within the temple. Note there in verse 14, then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was toward the north. And behold, there sat women weeping. Or Tamar's. Tamar's was originally a Babylonian sun god. The Babylonian myth represents Tamar's as a beautiful shepherd slain by a wild boar. And this mourning for Tamar's was celebrated in Babylon by women on the second day of the fourth month. Which thus became known as the Tamar's. The cult rites involved in this worship, it was very wicked, it was very vile, it was perverse. In other words, the worship of Tamar's, or the observance of his death, was a time where the heathen would have their religious practices to propagate and promote prosperity and well-being in the land. In other words, the worship of a fertility god. And they believed by going through these immoral acts out there in the open, and I don't need to get any more specific, but you can just imagine. The Philistines worshipped the god of Ashtaroth. And you don't want to know what they committed out in the open. It was vile, immoral sin openly. The goddess of fertility. In order to promote well-being and for the land to produce a good harvest. And God's people were involved in this worship of these fertility gods. Fornication and lasciviousness and prostitution, all of these immoral sins were being committed by the people of God behind closed doors. They committed these immoral sins. The worship of these fertility gods and all that that involved. Sins behind closed doors, and we have many of God's people today committing the same sins behind closed doors. Via the internet.
and via their phones.
You know what I'm referring to? And I assure you this evening, there's one or two of us in this room that you're committing some of these sins. God sees it. God sees it. And just like God revealed it to Ezekiel, God will expose your sin.
Be careful. Morality is like a drug that will destroy your life. And many of God's people have been destroyed by the sin of our day, propagated through the entertainment industry, through the internet, through the magazines of our day, immorality amongst the people of God. May God spare us. That's why the mobile phone is so dangerous. It really is. Parents, it's dangerous. The sooner you realize that, parents, the better. That's why my kids don't have a mobile phone. Now, you do what you want with your kids, the blood's on your hands, but my kids will not have a mobile phone until they're 18. And as long as they live in my home, I get to see everything on that phone. Everything. And I like to encourage you, parents, children, if you've got a phone, let mum and dad see what's on it, what you look at. It's destructive. Destructive. Immorality. Filth and rot is out there. And God's people within the temple were worshipping these immoral gods. Gods of fertility. I wonder why our young people have so many problems. Well, what do you expect? Give them a mobile phone, they got free access to the internet and Facebook and all that rot. What do you expect? Come on! I better keep going. These sins were committed in the house of God. The same sins have been committed in the lives of God's people, the temple of the Holy Spirit. My wife has full access to my computer. She'll go in and she'll look and browse. She has regular snoops, just reads my emails, just sees where I've been. It's all there. I've got nothing to hide. May I suggest to you, brethren, you do the same in your household? No passwords on computers in my household that I don't know the password. Because the flesh is vile. Oh, but pastor, you know, I trust my kids. Parents, you're foolish. You trust their flesh? You trust them more than what God does. Don't trust flesh. It's wicked. It's vile. Children, protect yourself by saying, Mum, Dad, here's my phone. Have a look at where I've been. In fact, better still, can you cut this internet rot off my phone? May God lead us back to those big brick phones. Amen? The Motorola's. Hallelujah. That were just simply a phone. Anyway, I better keep going. Sins behind closed doors. Last but not least, note there in verse number 16, he brought me into the inner courts of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men, and their backs toward the temple of the Lord, and their faces toward the east. This is in the temple. And they worshipped the sun toward the east. They worshipped the sun. They're back to God's temple. They worshipped the sun. Where? In the temple. In the Jewish temple. And last but not least this evening, the fifth sin that was being committed by God's people behind closed doors was that they were no longer dependent upon God. Their backs were, they had their backs to God, but instead they worship the sun. The sin of not being fully dependent upon the Lord. This was the sin that was being committed by God's people. They had their backs to God's altar, but they worshipped the sun, the Bible teaches us. Sin behind closed doors. My friend, this evening, the Lord Jesus said, have faith in God. That's where our dependence needs to be. It needs to be in the Lord. But I'm afraid that we place our dependence upon our abilities, upon our looks, upon our financial status, who we know, our education, our parents, our method. Our dependence isn't really upon God. It's on what we know and what we do and who we know and who knows us. That's the world, is it not? This grieves the heart of God. And the principal sin that God's people were committing within the temple is that they gave evidence of the fact that they really weren't dependent upon the Lord. They worshipped the sun. They had their back to God. And you and I can be guilty of the same sins. So there are five main sins that God reveals to Ezekiel, committed by God's people behind closed doors. They didn't love God fully, number one. Number two, they were hypocritical. Number three, they belittled God. Number four, they committed immoral sins. And number five, they did not depend upon God fully. And all of these sins were evident amongst God's people. Where? Where? Talk to me. Where? In the temple. The last place on earth you'd want to commit any of these sins. And yet we are just as guilty of committing the same sins in this temple, the temple of the Holy Ghost. May God spare us. Sins behind closed doors. Let me ask this evening, what sin are you committing behind closed doors? God sees. God's at work. Young people, you won't get away with it. I'm telling you, you won't get away with it. Mature people, you won't get away with it. God sees. God's active. God sees everything. God sees you before that computer. God sees you what you do with that mobile phone. God sees you where you go and what you say and what you think. God sees everything. God sees. May God help us to live holy. I don't know about you, but I want God's glory upon my life. I want God's presence upon my life. Isn't it amazing that we have all this technology today, but yet we have little evidence of the power of God? 7 billion people in the world. And we have everything. We have our websites, and we have our internet, and we have our fancy mobile phones, and we have all sorts of fancy technology, but the world's still going to hell. Why don't we have the impact? Why don't we see more people saved? Let me tell you why. There's sin in the camp. There's sin behind closed doors. The glory is gone. The presence is not there. Oh yes, we've got our fancy phones and we've got our fancy websites and we've got all the latest technology, but yet people are still going to hell and there's little evidence of the power of God upon our lives because there's sin. There's sin behind closed doors amongst the people of God. May God help us this evening. May God purify our hearts. May God cleanse us afresh this evening and confess our sin before a holy God. I want His glory upon my life. I want His presence in my life. It won't be evident if there's sin in the camp. Let's bow for prayer.